Okay, welcome everyone to the Mincha's Chinuch. It's been a little while since I used to give the Mincha's Chinuch for a while here. So there's a special feeling here that I have for the Mincha's Chinuch, bringing it back. So we welcome the Mincha's Chinuch back. Welcome everyone here tonight. Everyone should feel comfortable to speak up. If anyone has any questions or anything, we could speak up. As you know, the Sefer HaChinuch is a very unique, and it has a very unique style that he, you know, most of the time follows the Rambam. He goes with the Rambam's counting of mitzvos, and he tells you where the source, you know, where the pasuk is for the mitzvah, and he tells you a possible reason for the mitzvah, and he tells you some of the halachas of the mitzvah, gives you a very well-rounded education. And then there's a Minchas Chinuch that goes into details of the mitzvah. Different questions and different issues, goes more beyond, more lumbus about the mitzvah. So let's see. Now tonight, this week's class is Hanan. So we're going to focus on the mitzvah of the mezuzah, which is found in the parasha. So the chinuch says, that he opens up with the Zvoa mezuzah and mezuzah beseder. So the first thing is the mitzvah of putting a mezuzah on the doorpost of our house. Houses, shenemu, ksavtem ha mezuzos beisecha v'yishavecha. Pasuk said, say it every day, nishma, to write it on the doorpost of your house and your gates. Then he says that the inyan of the mitzvah, in mezuzah shekosim shtei parashas min ha-Torah b'klaf echad, you write two parashas from the Torah in one class. You have the parashah of shema, and you have the parashah of hoim shmoa. V'hein nishma ha v'yishavecha v'hoim shmoa ad ha-oretz. The kovin also be mezuzas pesach habayis, and you set it in the doorpost. Okay, he doesn't go into how do we know it's on one cloth, it's on one parchment. He doesn't go into that. But that's a separate issue. But that's what he said. The mitzvah, you put it all on one parchment. So we know by tefillin, we have in the shalyad, it's all the four parchments of tefillin are on one parchment, and in the shalosh, it's four different compartments that we have in the shalosh. But here, it's all on one parchment. So now he continues. After he identifies the mitzvah, says Mishashi HaMitzvah, the root of the mitzvah, Liyosikurul Odom. It should be a reminder for a man, the Emunah Hashem, in the Emunah of Hashem, B'choleis Kola Veso, V'seiso. Every time you come into your house, you leave your house, you have a mezuzah. You know, you face the mezuzah, you have a mezuzah, you come into your house, it's a reminder, Shema Yisrael Hashem, Olkein Hashem Achad, reminds you about Hashem. So that's what the mezuzah is all about. And it brings from the Gemara Menachos. Now, and he says, because the Gemara says, Amarav Zera, Amarav Masa, Amar Shmuel, Mitzvah Hanicha, B'tchila Shlisha Elyon, the mitzvah to put on the top third. There's a copy. Mitzvah to put on the top third of the house. Top third of the doorway. My time, And then in the Dini HaMitzvah, he explains, the Chinuch explains that the two parshas of Ma'akiv Zuazu, if you don't have both parshios, if you have one parsha and not the other, not yours a mitzvah, it's not like tefillin. Tefillin, you know, if you have only a shalyad and no the parsha of shalyad, you don't have the shalrosh. You know, you could put on just a shayat. However, by mezuzah, you have to have both parashios. I mean, tefillin also, with the chayyim, you have to have all the, at least you have to have four in one, in order for it to be good. And then he says some other halachas, it has to be on the right side. And, okay. Now, the Minchas Chinuch, if we'll take a look at the Minchas, let's go right to the Minchas Chinuch. On the right side, in your copies. The Tvor Mezuzah. Now you should know that the copies that I made for you are from the old Minchas Chinuch. The new Minchas Chinuch, I gotta get permission from them to make copies, so I don't have permission yet to make copies, so I'm not going to make copies from it. But that's the old Minchas Chinuch, the Tvor Mezuzah. You have it, Tuf Chof Gimel, on the right side. Shenema, everyone have it right over here. Is that it? Okay. You want to know where this is explained? The Rambam, the Hilchos Mezuzah, Tosh Shulchan Aruch, Yerdei Hilchos Mezuzah. Gam kein ein laharich, kisesu, shebo barich, b'shenem achronim. I don't need to, he doesn't find it necessary for him to go into detail so much in this mitzvah, because it's been spoken about a lot before him. So they've spoken about it. I don't need to speak about it if they've went into detail about it. When Hegas Bezman is there, it applies in our days, you know, the mitzvah applies nowadays. Hegas Bechalishi, so all types of people, men, women, menashim, hafotim, and people, even if people are slaves, because the slaves are obligated in mitzvahs like a lady, therefore they're obligated in the mitzvah mezuzah. Mezuzah is chovas hadori. Mezuzah is only if you live in the house. You don't live in the house. Let's say you have a house that you bought and you don't live there. You just have it as a piece of property that you're holding it empty. Let's say you bought a house in Eretz Yisrael, waiting for Mashiach to come. You have a house and no one's living there. I recommend you should rent it out. Just get a few dollars. But let's say you have a house and no one's living. You don't have to put up a mezuzah. Mezuzah is chovas hadori. They live there. They made a door by buying some mezuzah.
If you live in a hotel.
If you live in a hotel, yes.
It's temporary.
It's temporary. So temporary. You also, you don't have to put up a mezuzah. Right.
Let's say you're living here for 6 months or something.
Why? If you're living here for 6 months, and then the rule is, if you're living, come mix it. If you come 30 days, you're living in a place. If you rent that out, you can make somewhere 30 days. Once you live in a place 30 days, you have to put up a mezuzah. That's already. It's not already called.
If you're not living there, I mean, that's not your house. It's just, you know, it's a hotel. It's temporary.
Okay, but still, if you're in a hotel for more than 30 days, no, that's called already. It's not any more temporary. Therefore, if you would rent the house for more than 30 days, you have to put up a mezuzah. If you'll be in an inn or a hotel or a motel for more than 30 days, you would be chayiv in a mezuzah after 30 days. That's how it would work. 30 days is would seem to be the time period.
Let's say you're living in the water. You gotta ask
for shoes. To put up a mezuzah. Okay, so Alan, first of all, I want to thank Alan because Alan Major, we paired together for the shear. But maybe you should. We recommend a double-sided tape for the wall doors. Because they're not going to allow you to go ahead and put nails into it. Right. Okay, so we'd recommend.
You're high only for there for 30 days, but it's after the 30 days that needs to put it up. In other words, if you know from the start that you're going to be there for more than 30 days, you don't have to do it from day one.
Okay, so that becomes a big question nowadays, because nowadays we have, people sign contracts. We rent an apartment for a year.
At least.
So you have a lease. You know, you have a man who was in real estate. That was all about leases. So really, someone want to say that you know that you're going to be there, and it's already pretty permanent that you're going to be there, right? It's not a question of, is it a temporary dwelling? You come there from day one. It's not temporary. From day one, you're in that apartment, and you have a lease. You're here to stay. Here we have another man we can tell us about leases. So therefore, some would say you're obligated if you rent an apartment for a year. You should put up mezuzah right away. You shouldn't wait for 30 days. And you could technically make a bracha. That's what some would say. Others most probably would say you still have 30 days. But there's a very good svara to say that the fact that you have a lease, that means you're here to stay. And it's more of a permanent type of thing. Well, see, it's a very interesting thing that in Eretz Yisrael, if you rent a house in Eretz Yisrael, you have to put up a mezuzah right away. You don't have 30 days. Hopefully, if you rent a house in Eretz Israel, you already will find it with a mezuzah. But the halacha is that generally, if you're in a house, you're not supposed to take off the mezuzah when you move out of the house, unless a goy is going to be renting the apartment. If another Jew is going to be renting the apartment, you're not supposed to take off the mezuzah. You could ask the next tenant to pay you for the mezuzah, because you're leaving the mezuzah. But technically speaking, let's say they just don't move apartments. And they're renting out these apartments. And you want to stay there for a week. Right? Technically, there's a chilek between a house in Eretz Yisrael, if you're renting a house in Eretz Yisrael, or if you're like in an inn in Eretz Yisrael, like a motel. A motel in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to put up a mezuzah right away. Going to a motel. But if you go to a house, rent out a house, it's more of a permanent type of dwelling. It's not a place that people are coming and going. Then you have to put up a mezuzah right away. You don't have 30 days like you have in America. In America, you have 30 days when you rent the house. Put up a mezuzah. Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says, they made a takana, I'm sure Misha of Eretz Yisrael. They want people, they want Eretz Yisrael to be inhabited. So therefore, listen to this. You know, like you have the halacha by a ksuba, you know, a lady has to have a ksuba. And the ksuba is a deterrent to divorce. Because the husband knows that if he's going to divorce his wife, he's going to have to shell out money for it, pay her. So therefore, hopefully, that will help as a deterrent. So if he gets a little upset, he should relax and calm himself, because he should know that, listen, there'll be ramifications if he divorces his wife, he'll have to pay for it. So too, Rashi explained on the Yeshiva of Israel, if he'll go ahead and if he'll have to put up a mezuzah right away, so he's not going to want to move out so fast. Right, because if he moves out so fast, right, he's going to lose the mezuzah, right? That's what Rashi says. It costs him money. It was expense. Either I wrote the mezuzah myself, or I hired a silk to write the mezuzah. It was an expense. So if I have to put the mezuzah up right away, I'm not going to want to leave Eretz Yisrael because I'm going to lose the mezuzah. So because the chacham obligated me to put up the mezuzah right away. And also it helps someone else want to move into the apartment because they'll find a mezuzah there already. So therefore that's, you know, the Chalim made different things in Akmas. They want Eretz Yisrael to be inhabited. Anyway, everyone can speak up. No one should feel that these things are intimidating in any fashion, in any way. Alright? So that's the story we have. Now, in the Lower East Side community, now, a lot of people don't know, in my humble opinion, that if you buy a house in Kibbutz Ha'aretz, you buy a house outside Eretz Yisrael, then you have to put up a mezuzah right away. You don't have the 30 days. No one's going to have 30 days when you rent, not when you buy. When you rent outside Israel, you have 30 days. You should buy outside Israel right away. And why do a lot of people don't know that halacha? Huh? Because most of the time, the first house that a person ever had, the first apartment that he had was what? Was rented. If anyone ever get married and move into a house, usually their own house, they buy their own house. I mean, not so many parents or are independently wealthy, and the first apartment they moved into was the new house. So therefore, they always knew when the first time they moved into an apartment outside their parents' apartment, it was always in a rented apartment. And they always knew they had 30 days. So now, what happens is, when you're used to something, you stay with that, and you don't realize that, you know what, that's the difference between renting and buying. If you buy a house in America, you have to put up a mezuzah right away. When is what's called right away? Right when you move in, right when you live there. The first night you move in, you put up the mezuzah. The mitzvah mezuzah, now, question, maybe once you really start moving things into the house, storing things in the house, you know, maybe at that time you really could put up the mezuzah. Because we'll see in halacha that if it's used as a storage place, you store things there. You're not living there. Let's say you have a storage area. Do you put up a mezuzah there or not? The obligation is the machlokes and the rishonim, the Rambam and other rishonim. Whether you need to put up a mezuzah in a storage area. And we seem to paskin that you do need to put up a mezuzah. Shulchan Aruch says you do need to put up a mezuzah in a storage area. Whether you should make a bracha or not make a bracha, look further into that. But you should put up a mezuzah, let's say, a garage. You store your car in a garage. Put up a mezuzah in a garage. You don't have too many private garages over here. People do have storage rooms here in the Lower East Side. People own storage rooms. They should put up a mezuzah there. But they should make a bracha, now it's a different question. That needs to be looked at a little more. But they should put up a mezuzah. Now again, the question also is another halacha. The Rambam mentioned there are ten conditions, and the chinuch also follows the ten conditions of the Rambam. He brings down there are 10 conditions that need to be met to put up a mezuzah. According to the Rambam, one of the 10 conditions are that it should be 4 amos by 4 amos square. That's the size of the room. The size of a room in order to be obligated in the mezuzah. If it's less than 4 amos by 4 amos, you have a tiny little room, right? A closet. How big is your closet in your house? Is your closet, now what's 4 amos by 4 amos? If you say an amma, it's anywhere between 18 inches and 24 inches. If we want to make it, you know, if we'll say 2 feet, even though really we shouldn't say that, because we're going to be lenient that way. But if we're going to say, if we're just for easy math purposes, if we'll say 4 times 2 is 8, 8 feet by 8 feet would be the, right? Dalaramas by Dalaramas, right? That would be 64 feet squared, right? So if it's less than that area, you don't need to put up your zutta. So most of our closets in the lower east side, but in the west side they say that a closet is like a room. We got to talk, there's some real estate people, or there's two real estate people here, but they're telling
them. Isn't there supposed to be an entrance?
Entrance of every room in the house, that's every room in the house, except a room that's not a dearest cover, a bathroom, you don't need a mezuzah and such a thing, or if it doesn't have that size of 4 amas by 4 amas, if it's very small. It's not 8 feet by 8 feet, but let's, like you said, it's shorter than that, or maybe 7 feet by 7 feet, maybe whatever the math would be. You should be machmir, you should say an am is 18 inches. And then do your math. You know what I'm saying? Do your math at 18 inches times 4, and that's square. So that should be your calculation that you should have in order to figure out whether your closet needs, like I said, in the west side, they have closets that are like rooms. Correct? Tell me about
them.
What?
So I hear.
With some people in the walking closet. We have one out there that are really that big?
Not Lower East Side.
We don't have that over here in Lower East Side. We don't have a closet there. Only the storage room. In that, there's empty now. There's also a question to show them. Do you look at it at the total? 4 amas by 4 amas? As long as you have a total square of 4 amas by 4 amas? Or is it that it has to, or it has to be specifically that the measures have to be at least 4 amas in the length and 4 amas in the width. It's not enough that the total is 4 by 4. It has to be that the exact dimensions are 4 amas by 4 amas at least. It has to have a certain width and a certain length. Or is it enough that as long as the total equals that? That's also my point that's really showing. So obviously most likely the best thing is if the total equals 4 on 4, maybe put on mezuzah without a bracha, I presume would be the way to go on that. Another thing is, as a thing, does it need to have a door in order to be chayav mezuzah? Now, your kitchen, does your kitchen have a door? No. So that's a machlokes, it's also in the Rishonim. The Rambam said, if it doesn't have a door, you don't need a mezuzah. It has to have a door. The Ravid says, you need a mezuzah. So we'll put on a mezuzah. Maybe don't, when you put mezuzah in your house, that shouldn't be the one that you're going to make the bracha on. Because this question is whether you're obligating mezuzah over there. So don't put it on the kitchen that doesn't have a doorway. That you'll put a mezuzah there, but don't make the bracha on that one. Okay. So getting back to the mincha shchenach. Now, also about the Lower East Side, when the apartments went co-op, Lower East Side, I personally brought up the question to Rabbi Feinstein. Do people have to put up mezuzah today? If people own the apartment, what was happening is people were buying apartments and people are moving into the Lower East Side, which seems they should not have 30 days anymore. The idea of 30 days if you're renting an apartment, but if you're buying an apartment, So I asked them even to write something up. I wanted it in writing, so I wanted it to be shown in the neighborhood. So he wrote something for me. I really should have brought the text that he wrote. He definitely said you should put up in the writing. He said you should put up the mezuzah right away. You should not wait 30 days here on the road. What?
Because
it went private. That's what it would seem like to me. The question would be, before it went private, if a person actually bought the apartment, it used to be they used to pay a certain amount, $2,000, a certain amount of money people would give when they moved in, originally a certain amount, you know, at that point, would be, but at there, your ownership was much more limited, because you had to give it back. So I don't know what he would say then, but here, for sure, it's much stronger. Even though technically you might say you really still only own shares in the corporation, right? But it's definitely much more of an ownership, it would seem to me, now than it was earlier. So therefore, people should say move into a lower size, someone's, you know, moving into a bigger apartment, or selling theirs and going into a small apartment, the next apartment they should put up mezuzah right away, that first night, if they didn't have a mezuzah. And what's interesting, if you look at the chinuch at the end, the chinuch says, the thing is, every second the person is living in a house that doesn't have a mezuzah, you're really mevatel and mitzvah saseh. See, between when you're living in the house, let's say you're living in the house, you're over 30 days in the house, right? Or you bought a new house and you moved into the house. Every second you have an obligation to have a mezuzah. So every second that you don't have the mezuzah, you are mevatel and mitzvah saseh. Like if you have a four-pointed garment, right, and you don't have tzitzis on that, right? So every second you're wearing the four-pointed garment, what's happening? So every second a person is living in a house and doesn't have a mezuzah in the door, that's a mezuzah. So therefore, if a mezuzah falls down, a person shouldn't say, you know what, I have time, I'll fix it later. Every second that you're there and you're not fixing that mezuzah, you're really violating a mitzvah. You have an opportunity to do a mitzvah. You know, if you're oneg, whatever, it fell down. Hey, it fell down. What do you want? You have to put it up right away. On Shabbos, it's good on halacha. Look at the Aruch HaShulchan, it goes into it. Let's say a mezuzah falls down on Shabbos. So, really, you shouldn't live it. You should try to stay out of that room. If you have no other room to go to, okay, you're puffed, you're an owner. Really, let's say a bedroom. And the mezuzah fell down on Shabbos. Now, on Shabbos, you can't reattach the mezuzah. The mezuzah is supposed to be attached very strongly, very properly. And the mezuzah fell down. She said you shouldn't stay in that room. Go into another room. If you have no other room, he said, you can stay in that room. Like you should, because, like you said, the mezuzah, the chiv mezuzah is chavas hador, living in there. Right? So if you're not there, you're not living there, technically, you don't have that mitzvah. Right? The mitzvah is the chavas, and you're living in that apartment, in that room. So now the Michas Chinuch is going to get into a big shaila when you rent an apartment. Let's say you're renting an apartment, and you rent an apartment, let's say for more than 30 days. Now we say you put up a mezuzah. You have to put up a mezuzah, right? You rent an apartment from somebody. Is the chiyuv mezuzah that you when a renter rents a house, is it you're obligated min haTorah to put up a mezuzah if you're renting a house? Or is a renter obligated rabbinically? Is it a rabbinic obligation? Torah says, Saftam amazuzos beisef, your house. But it's not your house. You rent it. So are you obligated in mezuzah? You're not obligated in mezuzah. Now, for sure you're obligated in mezuzah rabbanon, right? Aaron, right? Obviously, everyone, if you rent a farm, you have to have mezuzah. What does that mean? Not Torah? It's rabbanon. So that's a question in Tosfos. And this is Shittas in the Rishonim. Now, we have... And we'll see that inside in the Minchas Chinuch. Another question we're going to see in the Minchas Chinuch is going to discuss is if you have partners. Now, it's not a Jewish partner, a Gentile partner. I don't recommend anyone have a Gentile partner living in the same apartment. The Gentile partner. Sorry to say, this happens in dorm colleges. That the people they have these shilas because they have a roommate that's a Gentile. Also, I don't recommend if you have a roommate that's a Jew. It's better that they should dorm in the house. They come home, commute better. They have all these problems. But it's a real question. What's the halacha? The obligated mezuzah or not? Let's say you have a partner in business. The Gentile, also. I'm not recommending the Gentile to be your partner in business. But let's say that's what's happening. That's the situation. You have to have a mezuzah or not. So we'll see the Minchas Chinuch. These are a couple of things that he's going to discuss right now. So he says, if you look at your copy, it's about 8 lines on the right side. Hine. We're up to the Hine b'mezuzah. The first word of the line is b'mezuzah. Right? Here's a copy. Rabbi Black, we should have a copy for you too somewhere. Is there an extra copy on the table? No. Do you want to look in with some of those? Okay, you're doing Torah Shabbat Pet. Yes, it's also Torah. On the right side. Tihine. The mezuzah sit beisecha. It's says Bisa. Dafka Baya Shalom. It has to be your house. Mabinam Bakulan Daf Kuflam Hayam Basic Vuma Daf Gir Alpha Base. Base Hashutzu. How do we know if it's, you know, a Jewish partner? Two people own the house. No one has to buy an apartment by oneself. Two people bought the apartment. Right? So Milaman Yibu Yimecha says, the pasuk says, right on the mezuzah b'sechel, l'man yibu yumeichem, and your days will be lengthened. So v'hanu nami bo'achai. No, not only do you need to be lengthened, the partner also needs, also life. So obviously, if you have two people living in the apartment, you both need the blessing of a long life. So both, it applies to both. L'man yibu yumeichem, both of you. Who is the zember rama peravom the mezuzah halacha yudbeis? Ayin b'chulin, shem de rabina shutur milman yirbu yimechem. V'armin an ele beischa, but it says your house. It says milman yirbu yimechem, so yimechem sounds like, so it sounds like it's plural, so but it says beischa, I mean, specifically it sounds like your house. Now we're saying it doesn't have to be only your house. Even if it's not only your house, if it's your house but someone else, it also has a mezuzah. So what's beischa coming to tell us? Derech biyasa. Beisach, I'm telling you, derech biyasa, the way you come into the house. Where do you have to put in the mezuzah? You have to put in the mezuzah the way you come in, and you have to put it on the way you come in on the right side. That's what the Beisach is coming to, derech biyasa. The person comes in, he comes in on the right, and therefore he has to put the mezuzah on the right side. Kosra tosros, the remasa Beisach, a tema. Amai lo amina de maya shutfis agoi. Why don't we say that beisecha is coming to exclude if you have a partner that's a goy? It says beisecha, your house, not a Gentile's house. And that's Tosa's question. Why did the Gemara say that that's what it's coming for? V'nichu v'tema. And Tosfos left it as a question. So near midivrayim. So we see from Tosfos the manir b'yemechem lo shayach b'shutzvus goy. The fact that Tosfos asked the question, and Tosfos is saying that, you know what, let's use beisecha to exclude a goy. So the manir b'yemechem is not including a goy. Your days, Tosfos is understanding where the Gemara said from the manir b'yemechem, your days, plural, is including another partner. Which other partner? A Jewish partner, not a Gentile partner. Why can't it refer to a Gentile partner? Even the chad shutra l'shech kabei, l'man yibu yimechem. But if he's a guy, the pasuk, when it says l'man yibu yimechem, al adam ha'she nishva, it's not referring to a guy, it's referring to Jews. Al kain, so therefore, if one of the people would be a Gentile, the Yisrael would be Potter. But the Rambam himself was very quiet about it. He did not say that if you have a Gentile partner, you'll be exempt from mezuzah. Mashma, the shutim afilim goy chayiv, the havili l'farish. From the Rambam, it seems to imply that if a guy is a partner, even with a guy, it also would be chayav. That's what the Rambam seems to imply. And here we have the sheet of the Rambam, that the Rambam was told, according to the implication of the Rambam, is that if a guy has a partner, as a guy, they have to put up a mezuzah. I am the Yoredeya. Now look in Yoredeya. So what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? Shulchan Aruch says in Simi Reish Pei Vav, Sifal, Sosal Mechaber, the Beis Hashutim Chayav. The Mechaber says, the Beis Hashutim is chayav. The Mechaber says if you have partners, you're chayav. And he doesn't explain what type of partner you have. Is it talking about you have a Jewish partner, a Gentile partner? What about if you have a Gentile partner with you, but you're living in the house? Ramah magia dafka beis, but the Ramah comes along and he says, hey, the Ramah says, that's only if they're both Jews. Of a shutra's great partner in Jerusalem. So the Ramah goes on record, and he says clearly, if you have a shutra of a goy, If a guy is living in a hot place and his partner is a goy, what does the Rambam say? He's partner from mezuzah. Nira mitvorev the gam dasam chavikain. It would seem that the Mechaber also holds that way from the Ramah, that if you have a partner that's a guy, you'll be potter. Reina muvach the zeshita acheres. Avodas haRambam nira, but the Rambam is very clear. The Rambam seems to hold that in all cases, even if there's a partnership of a goy, you be chayiv a mezuzah. So now it's interesting. If we look at the Aruch HaShulchan, Aruch HaShulchan in Yeridaya, Simen Reish Pei. Let's see, Reish Pei Vav.
The purpose of
the mezuzah
is what?
The Torah says,
it's not the... Isn't there like a reason?
Reasons. So he says, so the way...
The Shemira, right?
But the Shemira... Yeah, but that's not... There are many reasons for every mitzvah. The Torah doesn't say... The Torah just says, the mezuzah is what? I want you to write this verse. That's what the Torah says. Yes, it is a Shemira. It is a perfection. The Chinuch said it brings the Muna. Every time you walk into the house, everyone...
The purpose is just for Shmira.
Okay.
So what's the chilek if you have if there's a goy involved?
Very good.
Shmira is Shmira.
Very good. If it's for protective purposes, what does it make a difference if there's a goy or not? So they bring that here from a Kiva Egan. Kiva Egan, the Tshuvas, wants to say that if you have a partnership between a goy and a Jew, whether it's obligated to have a mezuzah or not is dependent whether if someone rents a house, it's dependent, this question, if you have a partner that's a guy, is dependent on the other question, if someone's renting an apartment, if he's obligated to mezuzah min HaTorah or not. He wants to say they both go hand in hand. What do you want to say like this? He says, if we say, if someone rents an apartment, even though he rents an apartment and we still say he's obligated to mezuzah min HaTorah. Why? Because we're going to say that when the Torah says Beisecha, your house, it doesn't have to be specifically, it doesn't mean your house that you actually own the house. As long as you're living in the house, you're renting the house, that's enough. You're living there and he says V'chovas Hador Hi L'Shomo, it's there for protecting the person. So if it's there for protecting the person, and so who had been shut with Nachri, we'll say if you have a guy that's your partner, it will be chayiv because you need shmira. You need to be watched. That's what Rav Noach said. Rav Kivega said that you need shmira. We need to be watched. So if the point is it's your house, why is it your house? You live there, and you need it. And because you live there, you need to be protected. So if you have to put up mezuzah, so if that's the case. So even if you have a guy who's a partner in the house, also you should put up mezuzah.
It's a kosher.
You got to be careful from the guy.
You with a guy, yeah, you got definitely.
But if you say that Beisach is specific, it has to be your house. And if you rent a house, really, Minatur, you're not chayiv. Because the word Beisach is very exact, very specific, yours, and it would exclude a tenant because it's not yours. So yours would also exclude a guy. Because it's Beisecha would mean your house, that's it's more specific, and maybe we could exclude a guy from that as well. But it's not, because it's not, the fact that you have a guy sharing with you, is missing in yours, so to speak. So that's what Rekiva Eger wants to suggest.
The idea of mezuzah goes by putting it in a room. Why would it matter whose house it is?
The question is, who has that responsibility to put up the mezuzah in that room? You have to live there. And the question is, who has that? You have that responsibility, but at what point does the Torah obligate you to put up a mezuzah?
If it's...
There are certain conditions that have to be met. Let's say, for instance, the question of a shul. Does a shul need a mezuzah? Right? So it says, Beisecha, your house, but a shul is not your house. I mean, it should become our house, right? Should make that shul. Shifti Beis Hashem, Kli Mechai, we should make the shul out. technically it's not ours. It's Kodesh. And therefore we don't put up a mezuzah there. A base medrash. Does a base medrash need a mezuzah? So that is a machloka. Because the base medrash where people actually eat, they do a lot of things. They like living in the base medrash. It's not like a shul that's designated only for davening. If you look at the Bialystok shul upstairs, I don't think there's any mezuzah. Bialystok shul. It's around for over 100 years. Is there any mezuzah upstairs? Anyone ever think about it? There's no mezuzah there. Why is no mezuzah? Because it says. That's one of the conditions. It has to be chol, not kodesh. But a base medrash where people use, people eat, see? Eating, drinking, so then there's a question. Yes.
I heard they get a lot of sleep in shul. It's like if you like go there all the time.
Like more of a, I understand more of base medrash. Base medrash is more of that type of place. I know a shul that's designated just for davening. I don't think you might not be allowed to. But a base medrash is more designated. Now, a lot of shuls, new shuls they make with the tnai, make with certain conditions that you should be allowed to do it. They build the shul. There's certain things that you have to, you know, something to ask, you know, if it becomes nogea the shaila. But in a base medrash, you should, you know, you want to spend a day in the yeshiva and learn, and if you can take a nap, you can take a nap. That becomes like your house. Very good. So it would come out. What about a business? So a business need a mezuzah now. So the fact that you spend your time there, it's like you're living there, right? So therefore, we would say you need a mezuzah. It could be the Rambam whose shita is, it has to be specifically for living. And therefore, the Rambam seemingly would hold that if it's a storage area, you don't need a mezuzah. Could be he would hold, it would sound like that he would hold a store also wouldn't need a mezuzah. You're not really living there. But we don't go with that sheet. We hold a storage area does need a mezuzah. Therefore, a store also would need a mezuzah. But you're living there. This is where you're spending your time there. This is a place where you're spending your time. You're eating, you're drinking, you're doing business, you're hanging out, you know. So therefore, and you're like, it's yours. You rented that store area. You rented that store, right? It is your. You have rented it. Not that you're. So therefore, you would need to put up a mezuzah in such a place.
If you're an employee of a company and you have your own office.
I would think so. So that's a good question. If you're an employee of a company, are you renting? You're not really renting. It's not paying. It doesn't really belong to you. It belongs really to them.
Right.
So then getting into the other shaila, really, are you really even a partner? I don't even know if you're even a partner with anyone. You have no lease, you have no...
You're not an owner of
it. You're an owner in any... It's a good question. And they own it. They really own it. So, but the answer is... But we said mezuzah, you could own the place. If you don't live there, you don't have to put a mezuzah. Only the person who lives there. You could own a building. And you own a house. You have to live there. If you don't live there, you rent it out. You own a building, you rent it out to Goyim. There's no need to mezuzah. You rent it out to Jews. It's not your responsibility. It's there. You're not living there. It's on that Jewish tenant. He has the responsibility to put up mezuzah. It's on the man who lives there. He has another. If I lived in that apartment before, I'm supposed to leave the mezuzah there for him. And then I could charge him for it. But you're not supposed to take off your mezuzah.
Sometimes I have to put up a mezuzah because I'm eating lunch there and I'm working there at 9 to 5 and I eat lunch. I put up a mezuzah.
Do you rent?
Hanging out.
Yeah, so maybe it's more than hanging. Maybe it's more because you really, that's your place. Is that your place? Is that yours? Is it designated for you in any way?
I work there every day, 5 days a week.
But so that's really Alan's question. Also, that's Alan's question. You work there, but is that really yours? The question is, you work there? But it's not your. But you don't rent it. It doesn't belong to you in any way.
We have criteria.
Right. So we're saying if you rent it, you own it, it's designated to you. It's miyuchad to you. You can do what you want with that area. You have a store. This is your store. You do what you want. This is your place. But you, if you're in someone else's building, and you happen to work there, they give you an office there. But you're not really, but you didn't rent the office. You're working for your own
boss.
You have no, it would seem like, what we're saying. You locked the door, but it's not yours. But anyway, it's yours. Who does it belong to? It belongs to your employer. Your employer is renting it, really. You're not renting it. You just happen to be working for your employer. That's what it would seem to be from our discussion. But you could further research and ask the question to become Nogel and Maisi. You could ask the question to somebody, see what they would say. So getting back, let's look at the next piece of the Mincha Shchinah. Next piece of the Mincha Shchinah, Nevuah Berambam. It's about 8 lines from the bottom, on the right side over here. Sorry we didn't make enough copies. This is a good problem to have. We should always have this problem. Nevuah Berambam. Everyone have it? About 8 lines from the bottom. Nevuah Berambam. Perikei Halacha Yud. Hasuch Abayis B'chutz La'aretz. Someone rents a house in Chutz La'aretz. Mahador B'pundot B'Eretz Yisrael. And if you live in an inn in Eretz Yisrael, so now, like we said before, there's a difference between an inn in Eretz Yisrael, a motel, where people, Rashi says, come and go, and a house in Eretz Yisrael. A motel, up to 30 days, you're exempt. A house in Eretz Yisrael, you have to put in right away. But don't put in Eretz Yisrael, kol shloshim yom patim in a mezuzah. Mevuah, we see, v'l'acha shloshim yom chayiv in a mezuzah. After 30 days, you're obligated in a mezuzah. It's not clear in the Rambam in Minat Torah chayiv mezuzah l'acha shloshim yom. If you rent, are you obligated Minat Torah? The schiris lo esmayet beischa. Because maybe renting is not excluded from your house. Kamu shutzer. Just like if you have a partner, a partner is included in your house. The Torah says your house is your house. Yet we do. We know that the Gemara says that the Gemara the Minchas and Purim before said that even if it's not yours only. You have a partner, a Jewish guy who's sharing the house with you, with a roommate, and share the rent. Yet it still fits in. The Beis Secha still applies. It's still considered your house. So maybe it's still called your house, even if you have a roommate. So maybe when you're a tenant and you're renting it, maybe it's also called your house. O efshem min haTorah patatum. Maybe you're always part of min haTorah. This mayit mi Beis Secha. It's excluded from Beis Secha. It's not your house if you're renting. Rak midrabbono chayef. Who gave you that obligation if you're renting a house? Drabbono. The nira kishelo. It looks like it's his la'acha shloshim yom. After 30 days, it looks like it's yours. How does after 30 days look like it's yours? And therefore the rabbono say, hey, we got to obligate you. If you own something, you have to put it on. So something I want to say, so you know, even if you don't own it, but it's like you own it, it's similar, it looks like you own it, because you're living there on a permanent basis, you also have to put a mezuzah. Come on, talis shula. You borrow a talis. If you borrow a talis from somebody, do you have to put on tzitzis? If you borrow a talis, a four-corner garment, it's not yours, you don't have to put on it. You don't have to. But if you borrow a talis from someone, you don't make a bracha on such a talis. So borrow a talis, it's part of tzitzis. If a person, if you borrow a talis and you need a talis, if you got your talis and you wear a talis, and you're married and you wear a talis, or you're a svarga and you wear a talis, so the person should give it to you like a matana amanas lahavza. It should be given to you with the intent that it's yours. If he doesn't give it to you with that intent, then it's like you're borrowing. You're not obligated in census. So that's how he should give it to you. Or if you use the shul's talis, to make sure the census are kosher. If you use the shul's talis, it's fine because the shul's talis is like it belongs to the people, like it belongs to the people. It's not, even if you borrow it, but it's like you're borrowing from your own, so to speak. That's what I understand. Therefore, a shul's talis, you wouldn't have such a question of making a bracha on the shul's talis because it belongs to you. But don't take it home, by the way. Let's not get carried away. Right? Too many things are found in people that people are not returned. Just like kemo talis shula, the chayiv acha shosh yom midrabbana. But if you have a talis, if you borrow a talis for more than 30 days, I don't know if we have that so much, but if you have more, then you chayiv in tzitzis. But that's midrabbana. That's not minatorah. It's not a chayiv minatorah, because it has to be yours in order to be chayiv in tzitzis minatorah. The talis hashut al chayiv is, and if you have a talis of partners, you're obligated to put in tzitzis if your partners, we both share, own a talis. You know, you like the, you ever see those sitsis, and you play ball, they make the sitsis
mesh.
Yeah, so we bought it together, because, you know, you play at this hour, I play at this hour, so we're sharing that mesh sitsis, right? We're sharing it. But we're partners, we're chayim, but we come up with shu'ul of Ketura. But if we borrow, we'll be potter. Who didn't can? The socha potter min ha-toyah l'olam, af kish ha-shut v'chayovim. Maybe someone who rents is potter forever. Even min ha-toyah, even though shut v'chayiv. So now, the Minchas Chinuch had a beautiful deal for what the sheet of the Chinuch is. He says he can prove that the Sefer HaChinuch holds that if you rent an apartment, you're obligated min ha-toyah to put up mezuzah. Min ha-toyah. How do you know that? The chinuch holds it. But Rav HaMechaber Kosef Kan, the Rav HaMechaber writes here, Dimsoch HaBayis L'chutz Laretz, if you rented a house L'chutz Laretz, V'ovru Shloshim Yom, and 30 days have passed, Bittel Aseh, Im Lo Chavu Mezuzah. He says, if you rented a house outside of Israel, and you did not put up a mezuzah after 30 days, you mevatel an aseh, you transgress the aseh. So what's obvious? That what, even though you just rented it, but if you didn't put up a mezuzah after 30 days, mevatel aseh, im lo kavah mezuzah. You see, if he doesn't put up right after the 30 days, and he's a little lazy, and he waits 35, 34, 32, 33, 34, every day and every second, he's mevatel this mitzvah aseh. V'vuh lehenya de minat Torah chayi b'schiris. Minat Torah is chayi by rented, d'lo smayit b'secha. It's not excluded from Beis Secha if you're renting. Rak tol shloshim yom potter, the enadira. Within 30 days, you're exempt because it's not considered a dira. It's not considered something of permanence. But like I told said, there are people that say that today with all the leases and everything, it's considered even permanent within 30 days. And they should already obligate you to put up mezuzah right away. I'm not paskening. You have the shayla. You're moving somewhere. Look, review the shayla and ask. Someone see what they... Okay, the country is also interesting, Shaila, regarding the bundle of colonies. We find that 30 days is a temporary dira. The question is, where is the exact... We find that in many places, I think it's also based by maybe paying the tax. You come into a city, when you consider part of the city, maybe... Right? If you're 30 days there, there are different things, but the question is, why is 30, maybe there's a concept, the chodesh is sometimes referred to as a chodesh, as a chashivus. That's, you're not there, but we have to research that exactly. A month is something, maybe it's considered something more permanent than just you're there for some days, something. V'ayim b'tos v'os menochas v'ap mem dalin v'ramas atalas v'suf v'ochen shom v'dove in beis socha o shol chai v'mezuzah min ha-Torah. He has the question, if you rent or you borrow a house, she'chai v'mezuzah min ha-Torah v'at rabbonah k'mot sis. It's ayin tos v'od zora. Tos v'od zora daitem noite d'bai yisocha potah v'mezuzah olam min ha-Torah. It's potah. Rak min ha-Torah is chai. Okay. Now, He had it's an interesting Minchas Chinuch at the end, all the way at the end, if you look. At the end, a few lines before the end of the mitzvah on the left side. He says, V'ayin b'hilchos lulav simin tofresh and vav, the mavu asham, the ain sarach advazit al mitzvah say yos mechomash. How much does a person have to spend in order to keep a mitzvah that say? Positive commandment. You don't have to spend more than 20% of what you own to fulfill a mitzvah sasei. Right? But a low sasei says that you're supposed to give up everything not to transgress the low sasei of the Torah. That's how many sheep are sold. But an asei, fulfill a mitzvah sasei, let's say up to 20%. So he says, nira efsha, but Mechassan said, perhaps, the gavi mezuzah, the b'chol rega over basei, but a mezuzah, where every second you don't have a mezuzah, you first transgress the mitzvah sasei, it's more chomer kesoros haram biyuma, than b'kuach nefesh. Maybe it's more stringent. Maybe mezuzah is more stringent than a regular mitzvah say, that we find, like we find at the store of the run in Yumak, have a kuch nefesh. Like the kuch nefesh, that Allah is Muhammad Meskila. What is he talking about? And let's explain. First of all, there's an Orcha Sadiqim. It says that the Lashon Hara, maybe the Aveir of Lashon Hara, is equal to the three Aveiros of Kibbutz Arayish, the sum of all the Zohar. Right? That Lashon Hara is either worse or equal to worshipping of the Zohar, immorality, and murder. How could that be that Lashon Hara is equal or worse to all those three groups? Is that a good question?
Yes.
How could it be? So one of Mahalach, I think the Chassidim might say, or someone says, is that because how often does a person kill? And how often does a person do Kibbutz Arayis? How often does a person do Avodah Zarah? Maybe a little more often, but it's a lot of times it was a one-time thing. That person went ahead and he did that Avodah. Lashon Hara is something which is constantly done. People are constantly saying Lashon Hara. So there's the quality, quantity. This is the bad quality against bad quantity. So bad quality, which happens once or twice, against a quantity of so many times, the quantity of the repetition of an aveira, which might be in itself much smaller, but it equals the one-time aveira. The one-time big aveira, you can equal that terrible aveira of Avodah Zarah, or Gila Arayis, by speaking so many smaller aveiras, the cumulative effect, what's the word? The cumulative effect will equal it. So he wants to say the same thing, maybe, he suggests maybe that the mezuzah, the fact that every second a person doesn't have a mezuzah in a room that requires a mezuzah, every second he's transgressing an aveira. So maybe he has to do more than a regular mezuzah, I say. Maybe it would call for more, to spend more possibly to do that mitzvah. Because look how many aveiros are being done every second, doesn't have the mezuzah. And he points to the Ran, Yuma. What was the Ran in Yuma? The Bikuch Nefesh. The guy was sick. He was sick, it's Yom Kippur, and he got to eat. Right? So I think they asked the Ravid the question. The guy was sick. We need to slaughter a chicken for the guy, right? Is it better to go ahead and slaughter a chicken on Shabbos? Let's say there's a different question. That's the mission, but let's say it's a different question with Shabbos. And now, Shabbos, and the guy is Zakana, do we slaughter the chicken for the guy? Or is it better to tell a guy to save the chicken, and now the chicken will be in the veil? And therefore give the Jew to eat. Now the veila is an animal that wasn't kosher, that wasn't slaughtered properly, it's much less of a sin than the Chalal Shabbos, than transgressing the Issur Shabbos. So is it better for you, the Jew, to slaughter the animal on Shabbos? Or is it better to get the guy, tell the guy to stab the animal and kill the animal, then feed it to you as a veila? The rabbi says no. You don't tell the guy to do that. No, whatever his reason, you slaughter it. The Ran comes up with the same conclusion, but from a different angle. He comes with this angle. He says, if you're going to make it in the Vela, every kazayis, every olive size that the Jew is going to eat, he's going to be transgressing the prohibition of eating on the Vela, right? Every kazayis is another Avera. If you slaughter the animal once, so how many times did you transgress Shabbos? Once. So one time Avera of slaughtering the animal against many times eating kazayis, he's even leading the Aranis. The quantity is worse than the quality. If you have many times you did that Avera, that's even worse than the one time Mechal Shabbos. And therefore, it's better to mechal the Shabbos and slaughter the animal on Shabbos than give the guy, let the guy stay there and make it in the veilah. Because of the many times of that sin. Sure, the Chafetz Chaim talks about someone who's a Baal Lashon Hara. What's a Baal Lashon Hara? Baal Lashon Hara is someone who constantly does that aveira. Someone who constantly does that aveira because it's constantly repeated. That's him. That's his makeup. And that's terrible, he says. Person, of course, sometimes he makes a mistake. He should never make a mistake. It's one thing. Okay? There's no excuse. But a person who is constantly making that mistake,
it's not a mistake.
That's much worse.
Why do you say this? Asay, you say a mitzvah, asay, what do you mean by that?
Meaning, when you have a positive commandment, the Torah said you should do something.
Right.
And now, of course, how much did you spend technically in order to fulfill that mitzvah? If there's no other way to, how much did you give in order to fulfill that mitzvah? How much money should you give in order that you should be able to fulfill the mitzvah of mitzvah?
Right.
So that's what we're referring to, mitzvah, I say, a positive commandment. It's a positive commandment to go ahead and to put up mitzvah, so that's a mitzvah, I say. A loose, I say, would be like, so just don't eat something. The negative. Don't do something. And I say it when you have to get up to the plate and do something. And we'll just conclude with a little bit more of an appreciation of the mitzvah mezuzah. That the Rambam writes in Perek Daled Halacha Yud Gimel, a person has to be careful. He's obligated to be careful in the mezuzah, in the mitzvah of the mezuzah. Because it's an obligation, it's everyone's obligation, constantly. Constantly, obviously, whenever you're living there, you have an obligation. And every time that you enter and you leave, you are actually attaching yourself, you're bumping in, so to speak, to the oneness of Hashem, the Shema Yisrael. And every time you have a Muna reminder. Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. I was somewhere today, the guy has a mincha, he has three rings. For his mental reminder. Every 5 minutes he has another ring for a mental reminder. Everyone needs reminders. Every time he's going to go into the house, the problem is how, as long as we get, people get used to it, they don't even think, what's that mezuzah that opened down the door? I mean, what are people, it's just, but how do people remember that it's a mezuzah there? Because when you see it so often, it's just, you take it for granted. Sometimes it's like people should kiss the mezuzah. Kiss the mezuzah, hey, what are you doing something? Maybe you're going to think, what is in the mezuzah? Like, what's in the tefillin? You have tefillin. What's inside the tefillin? What's inside those boxes? You can remember what's inside. You have parts of the tefillin inside. So every time you go and you come in, you come out, and you remember, and it's a wake-up. And it's a wake-up call, so to speak. And he says, and it's a wake up that a person should remember. It sounds like the shofar. Uri Yishei Mishnah says it's a wake up that nothing will remain. What's going to last? Yediyas Sur HaMavon. What will last is knowing Hashem, doing the right thing, focusing on what's important. That's what's going to last. Ein davar ha'omei la'olam omei olamei ela yediyas Sur HaMavon. And then if he remembers that. Because he remembers Hashem, and remembers that that's what's going to remain, that's going to be everlasting. Then he's going to do the right thing. He's going to say, hey, what does he have to do in life? Every time he leaves his house, he goes out in the morning. He remembers, what do I got to do? What my focus? What's important? Where to put my time? Where to put my efforts? And when I come home, how do I spend my time in the house? Remember what's important. Shema Yisrael Hashem Lekai Hashem Echad. Remembering that's the connecting to Hashem is what's going to last. And then the Ramban at the end of Bo says, you buy a mezuzah with a zuz, a coin, it's not so expensive, and you put it into your entranceway, and you think about it. So what you're doing is, you're recognizing Hashem's involvement, creation of the world, and you're recognizing Hashem's involvement, Hashem's supervision in this world. And you're admitting that it's an amazing testimony. What we're really doing every time we have a mezuzah, we're putting mezuzah in the wall to really make, it's like our declaration, so to speak. The Ramban is saying, when you're putting in the mezuzah, you're recognizing Hashem's involvement. You know, you have on your soda bottle, you have an OU, or you have a chavke, you have some sort of supervision. This is what we have on our doorway. We have a supervision on our doorway. We have a hashgacha on our doorway. We have a supervision. That's the hashgacha. Who's the hashgacha on the doorway? Who's giving the supervision on our house? Who's involved in our life? Hashem, that's the supervision we have on the door. That's what the mezuzah is about. Mezuzah is saying, we're saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, 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 Hashem,
Hashem. It's
a kosher house. And this house, and Hashem is involved in the house. Hashem is involved. Hakol v'dei Shem chosmi Yerushalayim. Shem is involved. When it comes to Yiras Shemayim, it's up to us to make it happen. But HaKol B'Nei Shemayim, everything that's not included in Yiras Shemayim that Hashem is the problem in this whole world. Therefore, we should be zocher that when we come into the house, go into the house, come out, remember what the mezuzah represents, the oneness of Hashem, schar v'onesh, that's what it's, the yichud Hashem, schar v'onesh. Things are serious, life is serious, there's reward, there's punishment, we should only have the reward, we should be all zocher to take the lessons in the mezuzah to heart. Next week we'll be back, every week will be a different mitzvah, every week is a different subject. Next week we'll be back. Next week will be Wednesday night as well. And then we'll talk next week for the following week, what the plans for the following week. But next week will be Wednesday night. You should spread the word. All right? No. I don't know. We'll take recommendations. We'll thank Alan Major for helping.
The Gemara in Menachos on Lamed Daled explains that the Beischa, that says your house, is Biyoscha Min HaYamin. That you're coming in from the right side. The Gemara says that it's on the right side. You have to put the mezuzah on the right side, and the right side when you come into the house. And the Gemara says, because the lashon of Beischam has in it also the bios, you're coming in, and you're coming in, the way a person comes, when a person walks, he uproots his right foot first before the left foot. Therefore, since he uproots, he walks with his right foot first. Therefore, when the person's base chayes, it has to be on the right side. How do you know it has to be on the right side entering the house and not the right side leaving the house? Also, because the pasuk says base chayes, which is also you're coming in, not you're going out. You come in upon entering. So it's on the right of entering the house. That's where the mezuzah has to go. Interesting, if you look at the Torah Tumim, he discusses why a lefty, but, you know, why a lefty also, even though he might put his left foot forward, which is his right foot, which is our left foot, I mean, a lefty's strong foot is his left foot, yet he also has to put his mezuzah, just like everyone else, on the right side. I just wanted to also say that the Chai Adam, Hilchas Mezuzah, you know, he takes, it's in Kal Tezvav, and he writes over there that the house of Shutim, of course, is Chayiv, two Shutim's Chayiv, but he says if a Shutim is with a Goy, he goes on record, Shutim's with a Goy is Potter, he doesn't even say you need to put on Misat Safik, he goes in to say that a Shutim is with a Goy is Potter. That's what he says. He says, now, the next thing, I mean, he does say, it has to research a little more, if you look at Klal Tezvav Sifdalet, more regarding what he discusses regarding Shutris. The other thing that he says is, he brings down the suffix, if you have a Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos squared, totals Dalet Amos, but not in actuality, it's not Dalet by Dalet squared, only in total, but not actually, there was no length of each side of Dalet Amos. He brings, some say it's Chayes, some it's Potter, and Sivvav, therefore he says, you put on only without a bracha, or put on in a different Pesach, that's definitely Chayev, but have this one in mind to exempt it. Then Halacha Tes, he brings down the Machlokas, if it doesn't have doors, you Chayev a Pata, and therefore he says, therefore one of the things says, you know, put on without a bracha. Look at Halacha Tes, we discussed the Shaila. And in Halacha Yir, he talks about the Beis HaKnes as his potter, there's no Dira, and the Beis HaMedrash, he says some say it's Chayiv HaMezuzah. Some people sit there the whole day, it's like a Beis Dira. He says about a Beis HaMedrash to put on without a bracha. Chai Odom Sif Yud. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.